No matter what, there's a lot we can learn about no matter what. And I'm excited to share that with you all this morning. All right. So Psalm 63. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you. In a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. And then I'm going to quick flip over to 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. We give our hearts over to you and ask that you penetrate them with your word. We ask, God, that you would speak to us words that we have not yet heard, truths that we need to know, healing that comes after the week. God, I pray that you would be amongst us, that these words would be yours, not mine, and that what is heard is you and not me. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In 2007, I was attending the National Youth Workers Convention in San Diego. And it was a way to increase my toolbox of youth ministry. And my brother lived in San Diego, so it was the perfect opportunity to attend this conference and get in some sibling bonding and free lodging. Let's just get real, right? So this was also the year when, you may remember, Southern California and San Diego was being hit pretty hard by wildfires. And the event that was closest to my brother there was called the Witch Fire. And not only were, you know, he and I, we were there, and not only were we aware of it, but then we've got Mom and Dad way over here in Iowa telling us about these fires like we didn't know, you know. So that's not the only way we knew, though, because we could go outside and you just smelled it. And you could see the smoke. You know, it's foggy out this morning. It wasn't quite that bad, but yet you could just see it. And then you could also, you know, touch it because there's ash all over everything. So we would watch the late evacuation parameters, and Tim would check in with coworkers and friends and see what, you know, where they were at and proximity to everything. And then we eventually heeded the reverse 911 call. What they would do is, instead of you calling 911, 911 called you to say, you are in an evacuation area. You can, and they would tell you if it's mandatory or voluntary and that kind of thing. So we got the call that it was a voluntary time to evacuate. So we decided, okay, let's go do this. And I recall my brother gathering, you know, some important documents and personal items and a few keepsakes, and I packed my suitcase, and then we loaded one car with our things, and we drove his other vehicle, and we parked it at his workplace because that was further away from the evacuation zone, and then we carried our way down to, you know, a friend of a friend's house to stay for a night, and we didn't know how long we'd have to be there, but luckily, it was just one night, and we were just thanking our lucky stars we didn't have to go to, at that time, the Qualcomm Stadium with all the masses, because that just doesn't sound like a good time to us. So we were thankful for that. And, you know, like I said, this was a voluntary evacuation, and it was not mandatory. And so while we knew it was unlikely that we would It would, you know, his apartment complex would be impacted by fire or anything. We just heated on the side of caution, erred on the side of caution. But I am certain that there were folks who were impacted more deeply by this natural disaster who vowed, and I know you've heard it. They take that vow of, well, no matter what, we're not leaving. We're staying here, no matter what. They can probably feel the heat from the fire, but they are staying there. Or maybe in hurricanes, you know, they're in the eye of the storm, and like, we all kind of laugh at the weather forecasters where the wind is blowing, and it's okay, but we're no matter what, we are staying. So they take stake in all that they have ever known, and they vow to stick it out, no matter what. And so there are multiple instances that I can think of when we end up saying, no matter what. And I was thinking of it as a child, but also thinking of it as a parent. How often do we hear or say, no matter what? No matter what anyone says. Fill in the blank. No matter what you say. No matter what you think. No matter who wins, no matter what the weather does, no matter where you are, where you've been, where you're going, no matter how long it takes, you're going to get that room clean. No matter what time it is, and no matter what everyone else is or isn't doing, just no matter what. And so sometimes, you know, it's proclaimed as a threat. No matter what your friends are doing, you will still come home on time. And then there's another generation that might be saying, no matter what, I am not going into that nursing home. Sometimes we say no matter what as an exclamation point at the end of a long, drawn-out discussion with, say, a couple of four-year-olds. You know, something like, you will go straight to bed, and you will not have a snack, and you will not pass go, you will not collect $200, you just no matter what, you're going to bed. So those are the fun ways that we can say this, but you'll hear me out as we go on this morning. Excuse me. So we've got the proclaimed threats, we've got exclamations, and then there's also promises. And those are probably my favorite way that we use no matter what. The promise in our marriage vows that no matter what, it's you and me. The promise to your children at the baptismal font, no matter what, we are going to raise you to know Jesus Christ. The promise and reassurance a child needs when nobody else has looked him in the eye and told them, no matter what, I love you. And then God. God's no matter what's. They speak to us in the middle of all of our matters. And you see, as I was prepping for today, I'm going to take a bunny trail. So obviously, we had Barb's tragedy that happened a week ago. And I didn't know about it till Monday morning, like most of you. And that's just that, and that's fine. And we were trying to figure out how to help Rosebone family, but then we also have a ministry family that also needs to be ministered. And you should probably preach on Sunday. You should probably do the message. Mark, if you want to tell Rob all to preach, that's fine. And then here I am, of course. But I knew that it was God prompting me. And what prompted all of that was I was reviewing in my mind and replaying different events. There are some other things that I learned also Sunday night about our families and such that, you know, I was getting angry and I was brokenhearted and I was shocked. And you know, the last thing I wanted to do was sing a praise song to Jesus. But one of his promises is that no matter what, you should praise me. We read it in 1 Thessalonians. And then we'll go into what David is explaining to us in Psalm 63. So there I was driving along from point A to point B, God saying you're going to preach, and I'm saying no I'm not, and then all of a sudden I'm praising and worshiping in the middle of all of that. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. We're supposed to not be, you know, we're supposed to like sulk, we're supposed to get angry, we're supposed to do these things, which I was, but I couldn't stay there because God doesn't call us to stay there. So, as I was saying, God's no matter what. My original track was praise God no matter what. And as I was explaining, in those matter of 12 to 13 hours from Sunday into Monday, there are multiple events among our families that had been brought to my attention. And then there, you know, as we went into Tuesday into Wednesday, then we had our lovely weather system hit our other friends and families. And like I said, there was no way that I could sing a praise song unto the Lord until he gave me the song to sing on the radio and in other ways. So, have you been there too? Now, if we were hand-raising people, everybody would have their hands up, probably. Yes, we've been there. And maybe you've been there, or maybe you are there this morning. You're in the desert, like David was, as he wrote the psalm that we read this morning. Do you feel like you are in a dry and parched land? Are you thirsty? Do you, verse 6, lay awake at night, rolling through the hows and the whys and what's of the day? Have you tried quenching your thirst with this and that, only to find yourself thirstier than you were before? And David tells us straight up in verse 5, satisfaction comes, the searching stops, when praise is on our lips. When your mouth and when your heart is praising, there's no room and space to search. Not only that, but let's note how many times David refers to praising or worshiping God in this text alone. My lips will glorify you, verse 3. I will praise you, verse 4. I will lift my hands, verse 4, with singing on my lips. And again, my mouth will praise you, verse 5. I sing, verse 7, and verse 11, rejoice in God. All right, great. But isn't there something to be said about, you know, too much of a good thing isn't always good? Or, you know, there's a time and a place to do certain things. No. When it comes to praising God, no. It can be always in all times. We are to do this as long as we live. Not just Sunday mornings, not just when we're celebrating or when we feel happy, not if we have, you know, the perfect voice, and not just for choir, but always, as long as we live, no matter what. No matter what. Anita, are you crazy? This isn't the time to be saying this. That's a discussion for a different day. But I dare to say that people were assuming David was a little crazy back in his day, saying, praise God, sing a song of praise, rejoice in the desert. You know, I think of him being in that desert. I've never been in a desert, literal desert, but I'm imagining. Isn't it usually kind of windy and the sand is like everywhere? It's in your hair, it's in your teeth, it's in your everything. And you can feel the grit in the sand and like your mouth almost is suctioned because it's so dry. And yet David is praising God because verse 3, God's love is better than life. So this week, God took me on a whole no matter what crash course, and this is what I've learned or relearned, okay? And I hope that you might learn something too, or be reminded of these promises. So every one of God's promises, they are for no matter what. There are no limitations, There's no special qualifications, no exemptions, no expiration dates, no fine print. They are simply no matter what. God loves you, no matter what. God forgives you, no matter what. God sent his holy and only Son on that cross for you and for me, no matter what. We can try and throw in the buts, and the, well, not this one time. No, it's no matter what, friends. Are you catching all of this? God has given us the ultimate gift of Jesus, and our response to that is a life of praise, is a heart of praise. And in addition, when we scoot over to the New Testament and recall what Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, it's rejoice always. Rejoice no matter what. Pray continually. Pray no matter what. Give thanks in all circumstances. Give thanks no matter what. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And you know, some of you may relate to this. The more of life I experience, the older I get, the larger and the drier the desert becomes. The search for reason and the search for purpose and the search for understanding, it turns up fewer answers, and you recognize that the only way to satisfaction, the only way to find water, the only way to fullness comes when we exchange our emptiness and fill it with praise and glory to God. And so I may be crossing a line here, and I can imagine that someone listening might be concerned that I'm suggesting, you know, happiness and glee is supposed to be a response to life's events, and that I am trying to, you know, fluff tragedies and sorrows, and that we should just, you know, coast through life glazing over the pain and hurt that we deal with every day. And, you know, does it sound like this is a message of Hakuna Matata? You know, like, no worries. That's not it. That's not what David is telling us. That's not the promises of God. Those are lies. We're human. We will hurt. We will experience tragedy and trouble and heartache and confusion. And when you hear people say, well, just get over it. Just get through it. Oh, just give it time. Those are lies. You need to go through that. But as you're going through it, listen to this, friends. Praising and glorifying God in the desert is not about ignoring the desert. It is about being in the desert and not ignoring God. Let me tell you that one more time. Praising and glorifying God in the desert is not about ignoring the desert. It is about being in the desert, but not ignoring God. It is a no matter what heart. It is pushing through the perceptions of this world, this ugly, painful world, the lies and defeat of the enemy, dropping to your knees, singing, crying, proclaiming, glorifying the Father in heaven. And it is a no matter what relationship with Jesus Christ, who by the way, he told us, in John, I believe it's 16, you know, no matter what, you will have trouble in this world. So this isn't a surprise to us. But it is in this troubled and troubling world that we can find peace, because we have a good Father who sent his Son to overcome all of it, no matter what. And so because of God's no matter what promises, we can live a no matter what life of praise. No matter who shows up at the football game, I am going to pray. No matter how hard it is to breathe in the sharpness of this tragedy, I am going to praise. No matter the outcome of this diagnosis, I am going to praise. And so, like the diehards in the Eye of Dorian, in the other ones who are living one gust of wind away from a wildfire, stick it out. Praise his name, no matter what. Amen.